Welcome to Live from Lockdown, Zach and Dom in our respective social distanced homes, keeping you company in this self-isolation.
I got to say, Zach, to start things today, I know you mentioned we are still recording from our homes. I don't think that's required by governmental law anymore. I'm pretty sure we are allowed to catch up.
They're quickly dissolving. Anyone listening from overseas, I'm not sure what your situation is, but it seems like the state governments are racing each other to see how many they can undo. If you follow a few of the state governments on social media, it seems like they were trying to get out in front of each other about who was going to ease restrictions faster.
Yeah, it is a bit of a competition at the moment. I mean, this is what I mean. I think at the moment, we're allowed to travel anywhere within the state and you can have holidays and stay overnight at places.
Isn't that funny when Queensland is, what, like 800, 1,000 kilometres from the top of Queensland?
Yeah.
Like, it's as close to the top of Queensland almost from Brisbane to the bottom of the country.
Yeah.
But we can't go 2 hours south, but we could drive 10 hours north.
It's a good point.
Isn't that weird?
I had thought that this might be the time to check out far north Queensland. I've never been up there. And I thought, well, that could be a road trip. That could
be
a bit
of fun. Are they flying?
Yeah, they are flying. Well, the government is subsidising flights to the Whitsundays to Airlie Beach to begin with. But flights come back too.
That's pretty good.
But this is what I mean. I don't understand why we can't catch up in person to record now. I know you're still insistent on social distancing, Zach.
I'm more comfortable at home. I've got these dogs to look after.
Yeah.
I'm on my home couch.
Sure.
And you know what? I do have concerns about the dreaded second wave.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just a little concerned that everyone just... It honestly just feels like everyone's forgotten everything.
Yeah.
And it's just as if it doesn't exist anymore. It's all over. And I'm like, we're not even into the middle of winter yet. Winter just started. It's not even a week in.
Mm. Well,
I don't know.
I will say I did go to IKEA the other day. And I did feel a sense there that everyone shopping at that particular store had forgotten we were in a pandemic because the way people were moving so closely together, I had someone, and this is not a joke, I walked up the staircase, I turned a corner, and someone was standing there and coughed in my face. They just coughed. It would have been probably half a meter from me, just coughed in
my
face.
Now, when you say coughed,
yeah,
is that, do you mean when a human expel something from their body, or do you mean that really cool side table that IKEA has? Coughed with a little umlaut above it.
I know you like IKEA. I struggle there, Zach. I struggle, to be honest.
What do you mean I like IKEA?
You always talk about IKEA. You're a big IKEA fan. The best bit of IKEA.
Well, IKEA's a weird thing because I think in like a lot of Instagram accounts I follow, I see that sometimes people have like a very artisanal approach to their furniture.
Sure.
They're like this, you know, this piece of this table was handcrafted by a craftsman out in the woods in Oregon in the Pacific Southwest, or Pacific Northwest, sorry, my apologies.
Mm.
But then I feel like just next to that, they have a piece from IKEA.
That's a good point.
That's like one of the world's biggest companies and they're mass producing furniture for real cheap. And so I do like some things from IKEA. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, see,
I feel like it's, I see people overseas with pictures of their apartments and I'm like, I can identify their furniture from IKEA. I'm like, I don't know if that's good.
Yeah. I have watched a number of like, whether you're watching an American drama or something like that, and you can pick the furniture. That has become somewhat frequent. I will say the best thing about IKEA, and I'm so disappointed about this because I think in our post-COVID world, this is going to be on the way out, but the pick-and-mix lollies that they had there were first
Never
class.
Heard of that.
Yeah, if you look at it's at the food section at the checkout. Look at the pick-and-mix lollies. They generally have a lolly called Cherry Loops. Now, if you haven't had a Cherry Loop before, you're missing out. I would argue possibly the best lolly on the planet, a Cherry Loop. But of course, like, who's going to be going to pick and mix after this? That's gone. That's dead.
So hang on, these are free. These lollies aren't wrapped.
Mm.
They're in some type of container.
Yeah.
And you scoop them out and put them into your own bag.
Yeah, like at the movies. That sort of a scenario.
Mm.
Yeah. It's there's no way
they are becoming rarer. When I was a kid, they were in Target.
I remember that you had a cup, didn't you? You'd have a cup.
And I never was allowed to have them. But I loved those gummy lollies. It's one of the things that you can't have anymore as a vegetarian because of the gelatin.
Yeah.
Although I did find a vegan supplier just recently, so I'm keen to give that a go.
Yeah, look, it is one of the great joys of life, a pick and mix, in terms of the build up to it. I always think things never taste as good from a pick and mix as you expect, and I get colds or like some sort of an illness more from a pick and mix than any other element, any other area of life.
How can you identify that's where it came from?
Okay, because Zach, it's rare that I go to pick and mix these days. I probably haven't had it for a little while, like maybe a year, and I can't imagine going back anytime soon. But the thing about pick and mix lollies is I would always go through a stage where like I'd be at the cinema and I'd think, well, I'm not going to pick and mix because, you know, I'm not sure about the hygiene and I think I got sick last time. But then enough time will pass between when I last got sick and then that I'll try it again, I get another cold. So I feel like every 6 to 12 months I would have tried the pick and mix at the cinema, gotten sick again, and then had enough time to get over that to try it one more time.
So hang on. Yeah. You go to the cinema, you get some lollies out of a shared jar.
Yeah.
Which maybe people haven't been touching with their hands. We don't know. There is a provided tongs or a provided scoop.
Sure.
And then you go into a dark room that has groups of 100 people, 10 times a day, go in and out, probably has never been cleaned, doesn't have any airflow in it, there's no sunlight that ever gets in there, and you're blaming the pick and mix.
It's an interesting point. I had never considered cinemas as a risk of catching the cold in terms of outside of the pick and mix. But I suppose, because you know how they keep saying about aeroplanes at the moment, that they circulate air on aeroplanes through like medical grade filters? Have you seen that? Because that's why they're saying it's safe to fly at the moment. In fact, it's almost safer than going anywhere. At least that's their line. The reason being because...
I don't think it's safer than staying in my house.
No. But the reason being that apparently they circulate the air every minute or so in a plane through like hospital-grade filters, which remove 99% of bacteria.
I don't know if that's true because my neighbour in year 7 travelled on a soccer trip into northern Queensland. And he claims that he farted on the plane. And there was the dreaded second wave. Which he reckons an hour later, you could smell it come back through the system.
No way. No way. That is not possible.
That's what he says.
It was another fart. There had to have been a second fart.
There was a second fart.
They don't have a 1 hour circulation where the air kind of like a water slide goes back up and then comes back down the other way.
I'm just repeating a claim from him. I wasn't there. This isn't first hand.
Well, this sounds like a true crime podcast where you could get on someone from an airline, you could have them talk about the air circulation, you could get people in the surrounding seats. It's got a lot of potential, I think. But
I was just going to say, speaking of COVID related measures, I did get my flu shot yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
For the first time since I was in probably primary school, I think was the last time.
Yeah, right. Okay. How was it?
So easy. Yeah. Unbelievably easy. I was at a pharmacy. It cost $20. It was done in 10 minutes. Just rocked up. Yep. Didn't have to make a booking. And the least pain I've ever had from a needle. Like, honestly, couldn't even feel it.
Yep, I felt that last year because I'm not great with needles. I mean, I'm not great with anything that causes pain generally, but needles are a massive sort of phobia of mine. But I did go along last year to get the flu shot because I think Mum kept sending me articles about how bad the flu season was meant to be. And then she went from being caring to being somewhat, I would say, forceful with her messages about getting the flu shot. At the end, she started saying things such as, it's just going to be sad to live in a world without you. And at that stage, I thought, I'm going to go get the flu shot. Fine, Mum, you've taught me into it. And I agree. I was blown away because, like, not joking, I honestly didn't know the needle had gone in. So I turned around.
So then why do you maintain, this is what I don't understand, why do you maintain a fear of needles then?
Well, because
the majority of them are like that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's blood tests. That's what's given me, and I know you donate blood. So, you know, you have that on the
I haven't recently, actually. I know how there was a big drive for blood during COVID, but my appointments were cancelled because they could only take a certain number of people because of social distancing.
Yeah, right.
You know, so they probably had to spread people out and stuff.
Yeah.
So I will have to rebook that.
The blood tests I've fainted twice from on the walk out of the place where they collect it. There's something about that because it's a longer process because it's a more painful experience. There's something about that I'm not great with. But you're 100%
right. But that's not painful either. I don't think so.
Well, compared to a vaccine, compared to a vaccine, it is. Because a vaccine, right, genuinely, a vaccine is barely, you barely feel a thing.
Now, obviously, it's not going to help you against COVID, but if people get vaccinated against the flu, that could reduce the demand on hospitals during the flu season to make available resources to combat COVID. Here's an interesting thought, though.
Mm.
If people keep up social distancing,
because
every year there's fear about the flu season.
Mm.
There's always, you know, people saying like it's going to be the worst ever and stuff like that. But the flu, obviously, it's transmitted in a similar way to COVID-19.
Yeah.
And so if everyone keeps up their social distancing, it might actually be a small flu season.
Well, I think they're already seeing that. Like, I remember hearing someone say also at gastro bugs are normally like rife through society. And like there's the cases of them are like at the lowest level in something like 50 years because no one's been, you know, in a way that you could transmit a gastro bug to everybody else. So by association, we might just kill everything else. You know, all these other viruses might slowly wane and die off.
Isn't it like when they introduced cane toads into Queensland?
How?
What was it? A few hundred years ago.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying is when they introduce I'm pretty sure they introduced the cane toads to combat a certain bug that was on the sugar cane.
Right, sure, yeah.
Now, what they didn't anticipate was that the cane toads were going to be way worse and run rampant for the next 100 years or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is it's these unintended consequences.
Yeah, this one's a positive one. That one's
I know it's a positive one, but not from the point of view of the diseases.
Yeah. Do you remember
And when- I assume it's going to be a sad yearly get together, the conference for all these diseases, you know, usually shared human to human. And they go in the in memoriam segment up on stage.
Yeah, that's
we're going to have all these diseases that are no longer alive.
There's going to be a lot of disease CEOs having to explain to the shareholders the low numbers this year. And they're all going to be saying, look, COVID was a hard year for everybody, every business, and the flu isn't exempt. We've really suffered.
I'll tell you what, Dom, I am looking at you today with a slightly different lens, quite literally, actually, because I have smashed my phone and a half years.
No. Actually,
maybe almost 3 years into owning it. And you know what? This is the second phone that I've smashed thanks to Cotton On tracksuit pants.
Okay.
And it's because these Cotton On tracksuit pants that I have, the pockets are too shallow.
Yeah, okay.
They have not adjusted their pocket size, or at least I haven't bought them recently. They're the same pants that I used 3.5 years ago. But they haven't adjusted the pocket size for the increased size of phones. So when you put them in your front pocket, the phone dangles halfway out. It dangles so much out that it's beyond the balance point.
Oh, no.
And twice now, I've had a phone fall out of my Cotton On track pants.
Yeah.
And smash on the ground.
Well, see, this is I have this problem with track pant pockets generally. I think they're either too shallow or too deep. I've never had a track pant with pockets the right depth. Because I agree, I have had track pants that have the pocket that doesn't really hold anything. And then I've also had track pants where the pocket almost goes down to the knee, it feels like. Like, it's when you drop something into your pocket, it's like you're dropping it down a well almost in those pockets.
In fashion terms, and I know this because I watch a lot of fashion shows.
Yeah, sure.
This is called a Goldie. You need to find a Goldilocks pocket.
Yeah, right.
Not too shallow, not too deep.
That's it.
Just right.
And I don't understand why it is so hard, because what are people carrying in their pockets? Everyone's carrying a phone in their pocket, I would think. So make it around like the general measurements of a phone. That's what you need to do. Maybe a bit deeper. It's not a hard... Pocket size shouldn't be a difficult thing on the template.
It's interesting that we have developed so much what we're carrying around on our person over the last 20 years. And yet, pocket design remains the same. We got the two at the front. I'm talking about men's jeans.
Yep.
We got the coin pocket. What's that left over from? I don't know. And then we got the two on the back. Now, I know there's variations of this. I know particularly... for female jeans, they're going to be different as well. But what are we doing? Well, why can't we adjust it? Why isn't there a phone pocket? Get rid of the coin pocket. No one needs that. We need a phone dedicated pocket, and it's snug. It's secure.
And where would you put it? Where's the phone pocket go?
Probably where the coin pocket is.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to be too uncomfortable, especially if the jeans are tighter in walking. Yeah.
Well, maybe on the side then, on the thigh on the side. Yeah, so then you're okay. not sitting on it and yep. it's not impeding you when you walk.
I suppose that the only problem is that's where they join the seams generally at the side. So that might be hard to fit it in there. I mean, honestly, mm-hmm. it sounds like you need a holster. You need a holster yeah. for your phone.
And then we're going back to what dads do
yeah.
with the Nokia 3350.
Well, they were on it. This is the thing, right? Obviously everyone paid out the fashion choice at the time, but ultimately it was wise. And I think that's where we need to return. Speaking of track pants, just quickly, by the way, I have noticed the scenarios I feel comfortable wearing track pants to in public has exponentially grown this year. I noticed this the other day where I was wearing track pants. I went to like one of the major Westfields. I was there for half an hour or an hour and I wore track pants. Now, I would never have contemplated wearing track pants to the shops six months ago.
What's the other context around what you're wearing?
What do you mean?
Take us through the outfit okay. of the day.
So it was t-shirt, just one of my general dark blue t-shirts, track pants, and normal shoes. You know
what color were the track pants?
Navy blue.
And what were the shoes?
The shoes were like sort sneakers? Of black sneakers. Yeah, yeah. So like,
I guess it depends on the track pants, because some track pants are quite trendy.
Nah, these were the $11 ones. These certainly aren't. I went to the shops to... Actually, it's funny because I wore my track pants to the shops to buy more track pants because I realized I was running short. And I found at... I think it was at Harris Scarf, like two pairs of track pants for $23. I thought, well, I'm not running away from that. Like, because it's not about fashion. It's about comfort. And these seem perfectly
comfortable. Well, it depends if you want to watch them outside, though, if you want to wear them outside.
Right.
I did look at Bonds the other day. They have a denim-looking track pant.
Oh, that's smart.
I thought, oh, isn't that clever?
Yeah.
What are they doing here? Am I wearing jeans? Nah. Track pants, baby.
Yeah, that's business on the outside, comfort on the inside. That's great.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. But it is interesting because I just think that... you know, you go back before all of this started and you would never have seen me out of the house in track pants. But I just feel like everything feels a little less, I don't know what the word is, everything feels a little less professional these days.
I'm just sending you a picture, Dom,
mm.
that we were sent on our Facebook page. This is from Star 106.3 Townsville.
Yep.
It's a screenshot of their Facebook page. This is a radio station.
Go away. Who is this breakfast show? Crystal and Brady. Weekdays from 5:30.
Brady, I think it is. Is that Brady? Brady.
Yeah, I'd say that's Brady. I'm just going to read out what Star 1063 Townsville, what this post says. It says, what's your pet's name? Crystal and Brady will try and guess what kind of animal it is.
That's
what
the pet
is
name
going
game.
On? Did someone send a group all email around saying collective noun is dead? Grab the segments. Get what you can.
Now, our segment, The Pet Name Game, is going viral.
Yes.
After our death. Mm. That's what they say about artists, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
They get
that's
big true. After they die. And that's what's happening with Pet Name Game, because we've had Hot Tomato on the Gold Coast not only take the game,
yeah.
but skyrocket in the ratings afterwards. We've got Townsville taking it. The RSPCA did a variation of it.
It's ridiculous.
Which we did approve, but still... we were told last week by Jack Jr. I don't know if he's happy with us sharing that he shared some inside information.
Mm.
But a show he was producing, I won't name which one it was, a show that he was producing on ABC
yeah.
played the pet name game.
I know.
And he wanted to distance himself from the theft.
Yeah, he was getting ahead of the scandal there with his apology.
So he came out and let us know. He goes, I was not a part of this. I don't want to be linked to it.
But it is scandalous. I don't know where this has come from. Like, clearly there's been an initial theft. That's my theory. There's been an initial theft and then other people have picked up on that theft. And it's sort of spread from there. I don't know.
You know what I think's happened is
yeah.
radio shows would look at each other's Facebook pages.
Yep,
I think a lot of
true.
Radio announcers would have, you know, 50 radio shows liked on their page.
Mm.
I think one person put it on Facebook, the others are copying.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel like we missed an opportunity we should have been posting on Facebook asking people for different names.
Yeah.
Because that way we could have stamped our authority on it.
That's true. And it's kind of hard to... I guess we put a video up of us playing the pet name game.
Yeah, we put a video up, but it's not enough. That's not enough.
That's true. It's an interesting point because part of me wants to play the pet name game again right now just to... Almost as an act of aggression. Almost as an act of just... Watch out what you're doing here, because this is our segment, and I want to...
Yeah, you've been playing it a lot, though, haven't you? Just not in the podcast, not on the radio show, just around... Like, I know when you were at Big W the other day, someone told me that they heard you yelling at one of the cashiers.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your pet's name? What's your pet's name? Tell me what your pet's name is.
I have not coped since the radio show ended. I just keep playing the various segments everywhere I go. Shout out Courtroom. Yeah, well, doesn't make a lot of sense when you're chatting to someone at a cafe, but I'm giving it my best go.
I did see you at that intersection where all those cars were stopped, didn't you? Yeah. You were yelling, distance, direction, how far from home?
You're going to
I'll
Cleveland.
Guess your address.
You're going to Banyo.
That's a game we haven't played in 4 years, so yeah. Probably no one will get that.
But certainly the pet name game. Look, what is clear, Zach? What is clear is that maybe it was the best segment we had in terms of the traction it's getting. Maybe not the best segment we had, but it was
the
one...
Well, it was a little engine that could. It never failed.
That's what I mean.
Other segments failed.
Yeah.
Every week, that was a guarantee.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've said this before, but it was the gold standard of a segment. Not necessarily claiming gold standard of content, but because it was a fun idea, but you had to put no new work in every single week. It was just the same thing. They run themselves.
It's like a Google car.
Yes. It is the Google car of segments. And that's what everyone else has picked up from here. And what I want to know is whether any of these people, because when you start saying we're playing a game where we guess people's pet names, it is only a short jump to saying it's the pet name game. I'm curious if anyone on air has actually said the phrase, this is the pet name game.
They probably have.
I reckon that's happened. I reckon there's pet name game openers out there now.
There was a time when you wanted to play the pet name game every night. That's how lazy you were.
I know. Okay.
I'm like, no, Dom, we have to play different
I'm
games.
I'm offended by that suggestion. I wasn't lazy. I was just saying some other radio shows play the same game, trivia, whatever it might be, every single day on the show at a certain time. And I was thinking, well, maybe people every night when they're driving home at 11:30 will think, oh, it's pet name game time. I'll join in for that. I grew up listening. I remember listening to the B105 breakfast show in Brisbane when I was going to school every day in primary school. And we would listen to Battle of the Sexes, 8:05 every single morning, Battle of the Sexes. Why couldn't pet name game have become that?
Could have been iconic.
It could have been. It already is, just not because of us, I think. But this is my point. It was not laziness. Was it convenient and a nice side bonus that it meant 2 of the 10 segments every night were taken care of? Sure, I'm not going to deny that. But that wasn't my core motivation.
You were keen to knock the 2 hours of work a day we were doing down to 1 hour 45.
Yeah, look, I will say it was always fun when you'd finish a show and you'd look ahead at the next night and you would see 7 or 8 of the 10 blocks filled. Not because, like, I loved doing the show, but there is this element when you have an empty show and you're walking through the day and you start getting desperate at about 4 or 5 p.m. and we had no ideas. And that was when some of my stories came out that you could hear the desperation. When you could really tell.
That's the attitude of every radio show. Yeah. And I'm sorry if that breaks some hearts.
Yeah.
But we did know someone who helped out on a very high-profile show. We won't say which one. Yeah. But they were heartbroken to overhear them come up with an idea in studio that was going to be the whole next day show. And they were very relieved that they didn't have to think about tomorrow's show because it was now taken care of.
Yeah.
And the amount of effort that it appeared that... Or the amount of care it appeared they were putting into the next day show... It left this person quite disillusioned.
Well, I think they
to what they thought was the magic.
Yeah, with a high profile show like that, their hope was that you know, great ideas would be cooked up and they'd, you know, people would come with these amazing ideas and be so excited every day to put this new thing together. And then when they saw the reality, which was brilliant, we can work with that. That's all of tomorrow.
It was the equivalent of dusting your hands off and going, well, that's tomorrow taken care of.
Yeah, completely.
But that's just the reality. It's just the reality. There's no way that someone can uphold an enthusiasm or an extreme level of enthusiasm for years and years and years on end. You're going to have days that you just want them all to be filled with pet name games.
Oh, well, I mean, I would say I could hold that enthusiasm for Guess Your Address, the segment you just mentioned. And Low Battery Limbo. I could have played both of them. There are a few segments I could play every night for the rest of my life and never get sick of them.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying those segments have to think about. I'm saying those are the ones that people get excited about because you just put them in. You don't have to put any effort in. There's nothing you need to prepare. There's nothing you need to think about what you're going to say.
Yeah. Oh, do you know, the other night we were playing a game of cards here and Dad put...
what does that mean?
500. We're playing 500. And Dad put, you were expecting it was going to be Snap or something, weren't you? Go Fish.
No, I just thought it was quite vague.
No, we were playing 500 and Dad put like a Spotify playlist of movie themes, like movie soundtracks on. Just because we'd been playing 500 a lot and we'd all heard each other's music. So Dad said, I'll just put this playlist on because it came up. Anyway, we're about half an hour in and the theme to The Great Escape starts playing. And I instinctively sit up and go, soft serve sound off. And everyone at the table stares at me. Now, if I don't know if people would remember the soft serve sound off. Do you think that one had enough traction that people would still remember that segment?
It only worked once. See, that's not a good example because that one bombed a few times.
It did only work once, but it did work so well that one particular time. We did continue to try it, though, to memory, didn't we? Like, we tried that...
It was strange what type of circumstances came together that one night, the first time we played it, for it to work so well and then to never work again. Yeah. It was McDonald's, people reporting whether McDonald's soft serve machines were working in your area.
Exactly. And because late at night, doesn't everybody, like who's doing a Macca's run, want to avoid those dreaded words, the soft serve machine is out of order, right? That's what you're wanting to avoid. So what we thought is we'll collate some sort of a situation where people can call up and tell us, hey, my machine is working or isn't working. And of course we use This Was the Music. I mean, I just never get sick of it. Don't you hear this and get taken straight back, Zach? What's the store and what's the status?
No, well, it reminds me more of The Great Escape, the movie it's from.
I can't say I've seen the movie.
I don't think Soft Serve Sound Off is eclipsed it in fame.
Have you seen the movie?
I've probably seen all of it in parts over the years. It's a very long movie.
I see. It's a fun piece of music, though. Is it a fun movie or is it a bit heavy?
Well, you know it's about concentration camps.
I didn't.
So there's not a whole lot of fun movies about.
No,
That's what they're escaping.
I apologize. I thought maybe they were like escaping. I didn't realize it was quite so heavy. I assumed...
No, they're just prisoners of war.
Looking at the image... And the music, I assumed maybe there was like a group of people who didn't want to be at war and they tried to escape war to go home.
Using tunnels?
I don't know, Zach. I've only heard the music and looked at the picture on the YouTube clip. That's the only context I have.
It's certainly not as heavy as other war movies.
Right.
But the subject matter... It's not the lightest.
No, but you've got to admit, you hear that music and you think, well, this is going to be a bit of a lighthearted romp. That's what you think when you hear that music.
I think it's like loosely based, or might even be more than loosely based, but it's based on true ideas. Yeah, they tunneled out of prisoner of war camps, right?
Interesting. Right. Well, look, I'll add it to my list of things to watch. I still haven't got around to Frozen 2, but Frozen 2 and The Great Escape will be the next.
Both equally as iconic as each other.
Hey, something, Zach, I wanted to bring this up with you because I know you're a rugby league fan and the NRL did kick off last weekend. I think the Broncos, your team, are playing again tonight as the time of recording here on a Thursday. You know, obviously, sports are playing without crowds at the moment with the fake crowd noise sort of zoned in. The AFL kicks off next weekend. What are your thoughts? Did you enjoy it with the fake crowd noise?
It doesn't bother me at all. Is it getting played in the stadium? I couldn't figure out what's going on.
No, just on
it's
the broadcast.
Not. And so there's someone... My interest was picked up about who's mixing it because it's kind of like canned laughter, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like canned cheers. But canned laughter isn't done live.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think they call it sweetening the laughs. Yeah, they do it in production. Yeah. And sweetening the laughs by inserting them where there weren't laughs. But they're doing this on a live broadcast. And so it's pretty flawless.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone will break through the line and they have varying levels of cheers. So it's not just like, you know, a huge applause after someone scores.
Mm.
They will have varying levels. And there's also kind of gasps as well. It's like...
Yeah.
I thought there's a bit of reality missing. Mm. I would like just a few drunken people yelling out. Just like, get them on side. Been doing it all day. Just stuff like this.
Yeah.
Just every now and then peppered through to add a sense of reality to it.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, there's no heart to it. You know, it's just a big crowd. I want to hear a little bit of personalities coming through and maybe getting more and more slurred as the afternoon goes on after they've had 24x.
Well, certainly, you know, I have seen at State of Origin games before, if a bad refereeing decision is made, a crowd-wide chant at Suncorp Stadium of "Bull something" might pick up pretty quickly in the direction of the referee.
Yeah, something like that going on.
And it doesn't seem like they have that sound effect in the system, or any boos for that matter. You don't hear any boos come through.
That's the other one. A few boos would be interesting.
I completely
agree.
Because
that's what I thought. I thought the only thing that's lacking is the away team gets equal amount of cheers as the home team, which is not very realistic. I'm like, this is a very bipartisan crowd. They're just really supporting good football.
That's a good point. I know that in the AFL they're a bit concerned about it because there's a lot more, like, I guess you'd say, umpiring decisions that are central to the play in AFL. So when someone, you know, maybe is caught holding the ball or they kick the ball out of bounds deliberately, like things that are up to the adjudication of the umpire in that particular element. And they have a real heavy crowd involvement. And I think if when that happens, you just hear this general hum of cheering, it's going to seem very bizarre. But I've come up with a plan, actually, because as I mentioned, the Brisbane Lions and the AFL kick off next weekend. You know, I'm a big fan of them.
I thought it was strange that you were asking my opinion. I thought someone's interested in what I think about something. No, just dovetailing to a prepared piece he had earlier.
No, not a prepared piece. I wanted to run an idea by you.
You're looking down. You've got it written down.
I don't have it written down. Where?
I'll just be quiet for a few minutes and you do your skit.
Fine, I'm not sharing that story then. It wasn't even that good.
I'll introduce it. You go behind that curtain that you've set up and I'll call you out. Do you have a spotlight or?
I don't have a bit written down. I just wanted, because I know that you're a big rugby league fan, and I watched the Broncos game last week too, for that matter. And it's rare that I watch a game of rugby league these days that isn't State of Origin. And I thought they did it really well. I thought it worked quite well. But I'm just thinking, because it still might be a while before crowds are allowed back in stands. And they built an apartment block next to the Gabba, which is where the Brisbane Lions play their home games in the AFL. They built this apartment block that, like, the top six or seven levels actually see into the stadium. Mm. I was thinking, surely if you own one of those apartments, even if you Airbnb. Live there permanently, absolutely. Because
that's pretty good.
You can be one of, like, only, probably, 20 people in the whole country who can watch a live sporting match at the moment if you're in one of those
apartments. Well, what you could do is set it up like a private box. Because that's essentially what it is.
Yes.
It's just you have your apartment. You stay in your apartment. Just clean it up, you know, and then you dress up nice, like as if you're a hospitality staff.
Yep.
And you cater it. You get drinks, and then someone has to pay something crazy. How much a box is? Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, thousands.
But you could even crank it up a bit because it's so scarce, isn't it?
Such a premium
thing. There's only one or two of them.
Absolutely, you could. Absolutely.
And then invite people over, charge them thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
People would pay that.
I think they absolutely would at the moment because it's the only... Because I don't think there's any other stadium, to my knowledge, in the country that has, like, accommodation looking out over the stadium. So I think it's got a lot of potential. I've been checking Airbnb regularly to see if anyone's listing anything there for that particular game.
You should just go to the place. I assume they're down the bottom. They've got, you know, the intercom system.
just start
putting numbers in. Pitch it at people.
Yeah.
Don't lead with thousands of dollars.
No.
Because you don't want to pay that. Just say, hey, could I swing you $20 and I'll sit on your balcony for the game.
And if they say no, then be prepared to start escalating negotiations.
Mm,
I think I reckon it's got potential. The only thing I'll say is you are somewhat removed from the action. I know that they talk about when you're very high in the stands at the MCG, for example, or any of those massive stadiums, it's kind of hard to see what's going on down below.
As if you would care, though. I'm estimating that you would even possibly go next to the Gabba just to hear the whistle.
I have thought about
that. And the kicks.
I have thought about doing that because I could watch it on my phone and sit outside the Gabba and feel like I'm there.
Are they doing anything, the Lions, to, like, I know the Broncos did this thing called drive-in football or something like that. And the idea was that they play it on a big screen, like a drive-in theater. It actually might have even been at a drive-in theater. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
And you come in your car because everyone stays in their car, so they're all socially distanced. But you can all cheer out the window and everyone feels like they're a part of it.
That's clever. That's clever. I don't know if the AFL is doing anything like that at the moment. I do know the main thing the Lions have done to try to... Because the main thing they're looking at to try to create energy for the players so it doesn't feel like everything's just soulless in an empty stadium is they've asked every player to pick a song that they would like to have played when they kick a goal. So every player has like their own personal song that will blast around the stadium for 20 seconds when they kick a goal, which I think is a brilliant idea because that will add some energy into the team. I just haven't been able to figure out which one I would go with because my pump-up song is generally Piano Man.
Yeah, but you have to kick a goal first.
Oh, shut up.
And we played in that game for the Brisbane Lions last year, and the button never got pushed.
We didn't play in a game for the Brisbane Lions. That's a little bit.
It was a waste them loading Piano Man into the system for you.
Yes. Well, look, certainly that exhibition match wasn't my finest performance, and I have rued my mistakes that game in hindsight. But I think it's a great idea because imagine Zach, like, what's your favorite? I know you're a big You're a big fan. Is it Wes Carr you love?
The guy from Australian Idol.
Yeah, isn't that...
I don't listen to any alumni from Australian Idol. It's not a rule. It just has worked out that way.
Who do you...
Occasionally Ricky Lee raining diamonds.
Sure.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm trying to think.
Wes Carr.
I thought there was this like indie musician you loved who had like long hair and wore a hat.
That's possible.
and
Wes Carr, believe it or not, there's actually a lot of musicians that fit that description.
Sure. Well, the reason I was going to say it is I was just wondering what song you would have. Like, you kick a goal. What are you blasting around the stadium?
Well, I'm wondering if anyone... Are they all doing it... Well, we don't know yet, do we? Because it hasn't happened.
No.
Because I'm thinking, would there be some trolls?
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Some people who would put Baby Shark in there.
It's funny. So, Charlie Cameron has selected Baby Shark. He's, like, the Lions' probably best goal kicker.
And have they agreed to let that play?
Yeah, yeah. They've said, basically, whatever song you want. Whatever song you want. So,
well, how is that going to pump everyone up?
Well, it's a bit of fun. It's a little bit of fun, isn't it?
Well, I would probably do either, obviously, the theme from Great Escape.
Yeah.
Or, as I call it, the theme from Soft Serve Sound Off.
Of course. Yep.
Or I would do Mama Cass.
Oh, make your own kind of music.
Make your own kind of music. The second song that Dom used to listen to in the studio before the show. Can you give us a little bit so people know what it's like?
Sing it or do you want me to play it from my phone?
I originally heard this on Lost when it was a flashback to the 70s episode.
And Zach came in and played it to me and said, I've got a new pump-up song for you. And much to his shock, I loved it and downloaded it.
Well, because it's so unapologetically positive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Make your own kind of music. Sing your own special song. Make your own kind of music, even if nobody else sings along.
He's nailed that.
There we go. It might be if nobody else plays along, actually. But, you know, the general vibe is the same. I'm not happy with the vocal performance there. That wasn't me singing, you know, well. That was me just giving people a hint of what the song was.
Yeah, you're making your own kind of music.
Well, quite literally, yeah.
Speaking of which, let's get to What's He Whistling. I know you had some messages, but we'll have to wait till next week.
They can say for another time. Well, last episode of What's He Whistling, the theme was Wallace and Gromit. Did you pick it?
I had no idea.
Have you seen
Wallace
and Gromit?
Sometimes I can't really hear them that well, so I thought maybe I didn't hear it that well. But then when we put the podcast up, I had to listen to it.
Yeah.
I had no idea what it was. I have seen Wallace and Gromit. Didn't they only make like 3 episodes or something?
No. They made quite a few, I think. And they made a movie or two as well. I'm
I know there
sure.
was a movie. I have seen it. I used to love the contraption that he'd get out of bed with.
Yep, that was brilliant.
I used to try to think of ways that I could make my own as a kid.
See, for me, Wallace and Gromit was all about the cheese and crackers, because that's the...
Yeah, well, the moon's made out of cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And the whole show is sort of grounded in this idea of cheese and crackers. I mean,
Wallace and Gromit has been out of popular culture for probably close to 20 years. You saying that it was super obvious.
I thought I said it was more niche.
You said it was really easy. I thought you said it was really... Oh, did you?
I think I said that was a bit more of a niche one.
Oh, right.
I could be
okay.
wrong. But yeah, no, Wallace and Gromit certainly holds a soft spot in my heart. Today's is a bit more obvious, though. I will say Wallace and Gromit, we had Jono, Ben, Mari, Emma, and Anna all get it right. John also got it right. He was first, and he's requested one that I was all too happy to whistle along with. So if you think you know what this tune is, what TV theme it is, message us on Collective Noun on Facebook and also request what TV theme you would like to hear. We might need to, in a week or two, mix it up with TV themes because I might be hitting the bottom of that barrel. But I will. I'm just thinking, Zach, I've had a lot of messages starting to come through where people are guessing the theme, but they don't suggest another one. And I think it might be because they're struggling to think of themes. So
starting to hit some double ups.
Yeah, a little bit. But here's...
I think some of the classics haven't been hit yet.
That's true.
Maybe everyone's younger than me. I'm thinking mid-90s.
Cartoons? Kids TV shows from mid-90s. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't want to give anything away, Zach, but this one could be a little bit up your alley. Here we go. Thank you, John, for the suggestion. There we go. You get that one?
Yeah. Great song. Iconic.
Well whistled.
One of the best theme songs.
Yeah, I agree. Although I actually thought the next series of this show...
No.
I'll give you a bit of that.
No, give it to me actually singing it, because I would have no idea what you're whistling.
But if I sing it, you're going to know what the first
theme
was.
Doesn't have the words in it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So, no. But it is...
Why change it? Yeah. Lost me. Okay. I'm out.
Sure.
Has nothing to do with the fact by the time it came out, I was aged out of. Although,
yeah,
it's never really aged out, has it? Because it had that spike a couple of years ago.
Okay, well, we're really giving away what it is now.
Well, I want to talk about that because I think that's been something that's been happening in my local area. I've seen a lot of people.
Okay, well, let's save
on
that
their
for
phones,
next episode.
And I'm like, has there been a resurgence? It's kind of like this COVID second wave.
Okay.
I'm like, it's back.
Well, if you haven't been able to figure out what we're talking about, then maybe go and refresh your knowledge of 90s cartoons.
Maybe there's another game. Is there another game out?
There might
I
be.
Knew that Harry
might
Potter
be.
Was going to do one.
Well, let's talk more about that in the next episode. But if you think you know what I was just whistling, message to Collector Down, suggest your next TV theme, and I would love to give that a whistle on the next episode. Also, next episode, Zach, I mentioned to you a little while ago that I had been sort of growing close with a possum who lived in a possum box in my backyard. I think I might be causing this possum some problems now. Mm-hmm. I've been starting to get a bit concerned. I'm going to need some possum guidance from you. You've lived with a possum for a lot longer than I have, so I might need some possum help from
you. I also want to tell you about I've been growing coffee.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I've been in a coffee process. I've been processing my own coffee, and it's hit a few snags.
Okay, great. Brilliant. Well, both of that next episode, as well as another great edition of What's Your Whistling.
Thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe. Bye.